ABC Radio Australia.
We head to Aotearoa, New Zealand now, where a group of former parliamentarians have started a campaign encouraging members of the Samoan community to file submissions on the Restoring Citizenship Removed by the Citizenship Western Samoa Act 1982 Bill. Now, they're calling on people born in what was known as Western Samoa who were entitled to New Zealand citizenship but were denied it due to a law change in 1982. Former MP, New Zealand Parliament and Chair of the Samoans for the New Zealand Citizen Group 2024 is joining us this morning, Anai Lupe Matasila, Arthur Anai, to discuss this further. With that, I say tā alofa, Anai.
Tā alofa and good morning.
Yeah, thank you very much for joining us. I would love, if you don't mind, giving us a bit of context so that people can understand the situation that's happening. We have to travel back in time for our listeners and understand the case of even Falema'i Lesa. Do you mind sharing who she was and how significant her case is in relation to this bill?
Yes, absolutely. So in 1982, Dr. George Barton and George Rosenberg took Falema'i Lesa's case to the Privy Council, New Zealand's highest court, in London. And an overnight decision was made after their presentation saying that all Samoans born between 1924 and 49 were New Zealanders. And that's because in that period they were under British and were actually British resident type of thing, which automatically became New Zealanders on the 1st of January 1949. So the Privy Council decision was pretty straightforward. All Samoans born in that period and their heirs are all New Zealanders, full stop.
And then, Anai, can I ask then, how many people were actually affected by this? I can only imagine thousands were, but do you have a definitive number?
No. So what actually happened was that actually said every Samoan in Samoa could come, and that could have been more than 100,000 people. And that's what caused the reaction from Rob Muldoon, the leader of the National Party, and David Longhi, got together to say, we have to block this. And so they took a protocol to the Samoan government to do with the Friendship Act that was done in 1962 when we became independent. But the angry thing about all of us is this was a very rushed deal, overnight deal, rushed up the Samoan side. Our people were not ready for it. Our government wasn't ready for it. Our people were not consulted. Nobody was. And they capitalized the naivety of our people to do with something like this, which we've never handled before. We weren't even given the opportunity to consult our people, let alone to get our legal team there to consult legal expertise overseas. How do we address this? None of that was brought into place. It was just an automatically had a protocol which virtually said, no, we're blocking it, but we're allowing you to have a quota that will allow people through. And when you start to analyze the quota, that was a thing where you gave with one hand and took for another. Just to give you an example, it still happens today and why we're still agitated. At that time, if you were drawn from the quota, they said you've got to go and get yourself a job. Right? How does someone from a village get a job in New Zealand, paying them $15 an hour, when the minimum rate at that time was $7 an hour, and they have no expertise of any sort, right? So when we marched in 2003, we made some amendments to that. But still today we have a major problem that the quota is never filled. And that's because the rules they put around it to operate meant there's no result was going to happen. So one of the things we're agitating right now about this is that on the quota, if somebody gets their name drawn from the quota, they should be giving a 12-month work permit to come to New Zealand, to find the job, to eyeball the person that's going to employ them. Those are the things we need to do, and we can do that. We will overcome the problem of not enough of the quota not being filled. And then we've got a situation that's an interesting question. The drawn rates. They raided our people. And I've heard of a story where someone was married to a New Zealand, deported. These type of things, there's a lot of stories floating around that'll come to the surface on this whole issue. The interesting thing about it, but the drawn raids were in the 70s. In 1982, the highest court, the Privy Council, these people were New Zealanders. So what do we do about these people today? That's another interesting issue. So that brings us back to where we're today. Now, Te Anau Tuiono had a private member's bill in what they call the Biscuitin that was drawn. It was to do with restoring the Samoan Citizenship Act of 1982. What we're trying to do right now is this. The people that were born between 24 and 49 were told by the Privy Council, you are New Zealanders, full stop. They were denied their rights to come to New Zealand. And we're saying those people should be recognised with two things. One, they should get their New Zealand pension as an entitlement. And secondly, to have the right to travel freely to and from New Zealand within a visa-free entrance. These are the issues we're trying to get at now. That then leaves the whole issue open us for time to look at other ways to improve the situation. I mean, quite frankly, if you look at the way we stand today, New Zealand has stood in centre stage against human rights of other countries. But if you lift the carpet here, there's a lot of things underneath there that have to be looked at, especially to do with the Samoan people. And the greater public doesn't understand how we've been treated the whole time. And I'll run this very quickly. 1918, Spanish influenza. Nearly a third of the country died. Why? Because the New Zealand ambassador at the time knew the flu was on the ship, the Taluna. Allowed it to land in Samoa because he had family on board. Then we go further and we come up to the way the Mau movement was going all the time, agitating against what first the Germans wanted to do to us and then the New Zealanders, right? And that was to get rid of our land system, get rid of our Matai system. And they banished these peoples overseas. Never returned. They died there. And that's what happened. And then we had the case of Tomasese. We marched peacefully into a pier, no guns, no weapons, no nothing. And the song says the governor himself pulled the trigger that killed Tomasese and 11 others. And then we move on from there. And we go through a few years of coming to New Zealand, where in the 50s they rolled out the red carpet. They needed people here for the expansion that was going on. Then in the 70s, things tightened. And what happened? The dawn raids. The unbelievable dawn raids that the world now think, what is it? And I can tell you this much, my sister's involved in this, and the young kids of this country that they go and see in the schools are saying, could this have happened in New Zealand? But it did happen. And then they brought up the Privy Council decision, and they overturned that. And I marched in 2003 with 100,000 names on a petition to try and have this overturned. They ignored that. So this time it is different. It is different because we had a private member's bill drawn and we lobbied very hard to get the parliamentarians to agree for this to go to a select committee so they could hear the voices of the people and their concern. Sadly, one of the two major parties, the National Party, tried to deny us that right. And today I can't understand it. How do you deny the rights of the people to come and tell you what they want when select committee process was set up for this type of thing? But so thank goodness for us. We're extremely thankful to the ACT Party, David Seymour, who stood up and they said they're backing us. And then, of course, Winston stood up with his team and they said, and the New Zealand First is supporting us. So we end up with a 74-49 majority to get this to a select committee where we are now. So right now we are making submission to the select committee. And so what we're trying to do is make sure every Samoan and friends and associates who love us are part of us worldwide to put a submission to the New Zealand select committee saying we back the support of this, and if we can, we can speak to this. And so that's where we are right now, and we're just motivating as much of our people because it is the strength of the submissions to the select committee will make them recognize how important this is to a group of people who've had so much over a period of time in denial. And yet today I can stand up and I can say to the government, you tell me one thing in this country that no Samoan has achieved. From sports to whatever, judges on the bench, you name it, we have done everything. So don't tell me we can't do it. All I've always said to people, give people opportunities and you'll never know what they can do.
Absolutely. It's been a while since I've spoken to you, Anaya. I feel like you've answered every single question that I had not been able to ask you yet this morning. But if you've just tuned in to Pacific Beat, we are speaking to former MP, New Zealand Parliament and Chair of the Samoans for the New Zealand Citizen Group 2024, Anai Lupimatasila Arthur Anai, on this bill that hopes to restore citizenship for people from Samoa who were actually born between 1924 and 1949. I appreciate how descriptive and how passionate you've been about this bill. bill. So I just want to quickly, with the 1 minute that we have left, people have said there's concerns about mass migration because of this bill. What do you say to that, though?
No, this is what we said right at the beginning. There will be no mass migration. At this point of time, we are only focusing on those old people alive today, born between 24 and 49. And we don't want to know where that number is, but my prediction is probably around about 3,000, that's all. And every day that number drops. And in reality, what is New Zealand faced with this? A maximum of, I'd say, 7 years before they all go. So we have to move very, very fast on this. And if I can ask you through, all of you out there, stand behind us, support us, back us, put submission in. We are determined that we get some results out of this for the first time. We have been fighting the Privy Council decision for 42 years. We've been denied. We've got to get some results. And let's hope and pray that God will support us, and I'm sure he will. He's on our side. We feel comfortable. And the people in the House, I know they stand by. And I felt very sorry for those three National Party guys who had to stand up against us, because when you read the body language, they were uncomfortable. They understood where we were coming from, but they had a job to do.